This morning, I would like to speak to you about the creation of God. And the message is entitled, The Wisdom of the Spider. The Wisdom of the Spider. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 4. In 1 Kings, chapter 4, verse 29, And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. 1 Kings chapter 4. Now look at me at verse 32. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowls, and of the creeping things, and of fishes. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30. And look with me from verse 24. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ends are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The cornies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bends. The lizard takes hold with her hands, and is in the king's palace. Last two Fridays ago, we talked about the wisdom of the ants, the coney, the locusts, and the lizards. But this morning, we're going to talk about the wisdom of the spider. Let's think it again. The spider takes hold with her hands, and is in the king's palace. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, after the book of Hebrews. The book of James is a book on practical wisdom. We're going to talk about one area that is emphasized in the wisdom of the spider. And I'm going to paraphrase James chapter 1 according to the context of our preaching this morning. In James chapter 1 verse 1, it reads, James, a spider of the Creator, and of the spider king, Jesus Christ, to the 12 species groups which are scattered abroad in the face of the earth, greetings to you. My fellow spiders, count it all joy when spiders fall into torn-wet situations, knowing this, that the weaving of your web again and again, worketh endurance. But let endurance cause all the spiders to spin their perfect web, that you may be at peace and encouraged, lacking no insects. You know, when I was a young boy during my childhood days, I used to go into the fields and catch spiders. And I will go and explore among the leaves, and I will pick out the leaves that are glued together, and I'll snatch it out, and put it in a box, and open it up wide, there will be a small spider web, and within the spider web, there will be a spider. And we look for those kind of spider that has the two front tongue, they say, the pair of legs that are very strong and huge. And if they are small, too small, we'll chuck it aside. If it's big enough, we'll feed it with mosquitoes, with the head of the housefly, and feed them and let them grow. And then we'll train them and we'll bring them for a fight. And they'll get stronger and stronger. That is my knowledge about spiders in my childhood days. But this morning we'll talk about spiders, particularly the wisdom of the spider. You know, God's wisdom is always simple but profound. God always uses little things to illustrate the profound truth of God. God will use... Can I have the piano playing? Can I have... When you have the little things, like for example, a little tiny mustard seed, to illustrate a profound truth about faith. For example, if you take up a grain of rice, it can also illustrate a spiritual truth. What is a spiritual truth? If you take a grain of rice and shiv it and crush it, when the husk, the outer layer of the rice is fall off, you have the original layer or the substance within, which is the rice. The husk will fall off and the rice will come forth. Likewise, it speaks about the human being. We have the outer husk, and through the dying of the flesh and through death, this outer husk is laid off, and the true inner substance, the real us, the spirit man, will come forth. And one day we will know that our spirit man is exactly like what we are right now standing. We are the replica of our true spirit. Amen. So if God these little things to illustrate profound truth. And here this morning, God used a very little thing. It's so tiny, but yet God says there's tremendous wisdom concerning the spider's life. You know, God always noticed little things because God appreciates them, because God created them all. They may be little, to us we may despise them. But God says, these little creatures are exceedingly wise. Some of us may not be wise, and this morning we need to learn some of the wisdom from the spider, that from being a wise man, we will become exceedingly wise. Amen? So it's very important. You know, I remember there's a legend about Prophet Muhammad from the Islam religion. It says one day when Prophet Muhammad was running away from the people that were persecuting him, he ran into a cave. And then, suddenly, at the mouth of the cave, he began to discover there was a huge spider. He began to weave a spider web and surround the entire cave. And that saved his life. The man passed by and said, "Oh, this place full of cobwebs. I don't think any man is inside." And that saved the life of Prophet Muhammad. The savior, the spider. Hallelujah. Now, you know spiders? You know these spiders, let's say you put them on the wall, they will climb, let's say this is a three-story building wall. The spider will climb all the way up to the third floor without falling off. They will climb to great heights without falling. That's what we need to learn from the spider. That we can soar into great heights in God, and yet we will have no casualty. We will not fall away. And we will continue to climb higher and higher and higher. Amen? Hallelujah. Spiders are very wise. And so today, we need to extract the wisdom of the spider, apply those truths into our life that we may be exceedingly wiser than a spider. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, spiders, they are web. All spiders' web begins with a strand of silk thread. They begin with a thread, and line upon line, layer upon layer, they begin to surround the place with many layers of cobwebs. Everything begins with a thread. Everything begins with a small beginning. Things in your life may look small, like a spider weaving a spider web. It looks tiny, one line. Now later in the afternoon, you look back again, there are three more lines. In the evening, seven lines. And by the next day, the full web is formed. So everything begins small. Things in your life may begin just by one little step. I tell you, one little step. In English proverb it says, beginning is half done. So you have something that just begun, and you should continue the good work, and finally you find that the whole vision that you have planned for yourself will come to pass. Amen? You know, spiders are not insects. According to the dictionary, spiders are eight-legged, wingless creatures called arachin. A-R-A-C-H-N-I-D. They're not insects like scorpions, they are not insects. Alright? And there are more than 30,000 species of spiders. And a spider's lifespan, averagely one spider lives about 1 year. There are other kinds of spiders that live up to even 20 years. Amen? That is, they are short-lived on this earth. They live only for 1 year. But in that 1 year, they have done many great things on behalf of the Creator. They have built many cobwebs. Hallelujah. They have a lot of webs all over the earth to show that I have stayed here before. I have built my house before. I have completed building my house before I leave. Hallelujah. You know? So this is a spider. And the kind of spiders that weave a cobweb or a spider web came from the Ops Weaver family. Ops Weaver family kind of spider are the spider that spins the web. Alright? They spin the web. A spider has 4 pairs of legs and 4 pairs of eyes. You may wonder if they have 4 pairs of eyes, they could see very well. But unfortunately, though they have 4 pairs of eyes, they can't see very well. They have eyes, yet they cannot see very far. That speaks about human beings. We have a pair of eyes, though we can see, but yet we are blind. Though we can see that we are short-sighted, we cannot see the eternal perspective of life. We can only see only short-sightedness about the earthly things. And when the day begins to cease function, and when eternity begins, we will realize that we are truly blind. So spiders have 4 pairs of eyes, yet they cannot see. Then the question will be today is, why do spiders spin web? Maybe they don't have any other thing to do, right? They just only spin web, you know, to show how artistic they are, you know, or circular design with some patterns on it. Is that what they want to prove to the world? Not really. The reason why they spin the web is because of their poor eyesight. Because spiders do not smell, they do not hear. And because they have poor eyesight, so what to do? They spin the web. But after spinning the web, they take advantage of the grace of God upon the spider, which is the sense of touch. There are many fine sensory hairs upon their lips and their mouth that it can detect minute movement. And so when there's a movement upon the web, they know that there's a prey, and they can attack and they can eat the prey up. So for this reason, that's why they spin a web. Poor eyesight, cannot hear, cannot smell, only relying on a sense of touch. They capitalize on the strong point. Some of you ask, is life fair to me? I have not much talent, I have so much disadvantage, I was born like this. Why don't you talk to a spider? The spider will tell you, I can't hear, you know? I can't smell, you know? I can't see far, you know? I cannot wear spectacles. But yet, I capitalize on the one strong point that I have. He will tell you, the sense of touch. That is called the law of compensation. If you could only capitalize on the ability that God has given you and maximize the ability that God has given you, that is true wisdom. How about the talent that God has given you? Don't lay dormant. Develop it. Develop it and use it to the maximum capability. Don't blame. Don't look at your weakness and murmur, complain, and become depressed. Discover your strong points like a spider do and begin to live totally on the strong point, and you will be a very happy person ever after. Hallelujah. So that's what they do. That's why they spin the spider. Spin the web. So how do spiders spin web? How? You see, they have 3 saliva glands, a silk gland within the abdomen area. And then it will secrete a liquid protein, silk-like substance. When it contacts the air, it hardens and it becomes a tangible substance called the web. And the female spider will use that silk-like substance to secrete over the eggs to protect the eggs. You know, have you ever saw a spider that hang down in the mid-air? Just through one fine thin line? That's called, according to this spider experts, those are the dread silk line.
act as a lifeline. You know, they act as a lifeline to protect them from falling upon the ground and then squashed by sightless human beings. You know, and they perish from the face of the earth. Hallelujah. So God gives them some protection. Amen. The bloodline silk, they call it. Let's look at the negative aspect of a spider web. And then later we begin to discover the positive aspect of the wisdom of God. Amen. Let's look with me right now to the book of Job, chapter 8. The book of Job, chapter 8, verse 13 to 15. In Job chapter 8, verse 13, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hopes shall perish. Whoso hopes shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house of spider web, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. So in the negative sense, spider web speaks about people who have self-made web of success apart from God. Self-made wreck apart from God in security, in prosperity, in the blessings. Self-made men. For self-made men who do not rely on the grace of God, who do not rely on the ability of God, their end will be short-lived. They may hold it fast, but it will soon go off. The Bible speaks about trust only in the Lord and not in your spider's web. What is the parable there? The next thing about a negative aspect about spider web is in Isaiah chapter 59. The book of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 6. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. The second negative aspect of the spider web is this. Many Christians and many non-Christians cover themselves up with a show of pretense and hypocrisy. They walk in sin, but yet they cover themselves up like a spider web with many nice clothing on to show how sophisticated they are, how educated they are. And God says, don't put on a show. Remove that spider web from your life. Repent from the works of iniquity. That is what God is trying to tell us. But let's look at the positive aspect of wisdom concerning the spider right now. Firstly, the main essence of the wisdom of the spider lies in this statement. They muster continual persistence. They muster continual persistence. They have strong persistence. I recall a story in English history about a Scottish king called Robert Bruce. This Scottish king, Robert Bruce, was defeated by the British troops 3 times in a row. And he escaped from the advancing cavalry. He abandoned his castle, and his troops were scattered all over the place in fear and terror. So he ran as a refugee and hid himself in a cave. So sitting upon a rock in a dark cave in the afternoon one day, he was wandering in despair, in discouragement. His spirit was heavy and down. But one day in the afternoon, he looked up because he had nothing to do. He was very bored sitting down in a cave, you know. So he looked up. He began to spot a spider at the corner of a cave. A young spider was spinning one end of the cave with cobwebs. Then a slight breeze began to blow towards the cave. And this young spider began to glide along with the breeze, trying to flow into the other side of the cave to fasten the cobweb, the two ends of the cobweb. but it would fail. But because of the black slip line, the lifeline, the spider began to swing back to this side of the cave. And so, the spider waited there for the second breeze to blow again. And then the spider began to glide across, trying to reach the other side of the cave to fasten the cobweb. But it failed again, and because of the lifeline that saved the spiders, it swung back again. Because of the momentum of the swing, it goes back into the other side of the cave. And this goes on for a number of times. And this young king, Robert Bruce, began to count how many times that the spider began to glide across to the other side of the cave. And he counted 1, 2, and 3. It was a total of 7 attempts. And upon his 7 attempts, finally the spider began to succeed in attaching itself to the other side of the cave and complete the whole spider web. And suddenly, a revelation began to dawn upon his brain. You see, if this spider were to take no for an answer and keep on going for 7 times, and I believe it will keep on going until it succeeds. I am a human being, much more greater than a spider. I think I will do better than that. I will rise and fight the British troops. And he began to call his soldiers again, and he began to war against the British troops, and he won. The moral behind the story is this: continual persistence, never give up, never discourage, keep on going, never quit. That's what we learn from a spider. Never quit. Keep on going for Jesus. That is the essence of the wisdom of the spider that we need to learn today. Continual persistence. Or put it more precisely, according to James chapter 1 verse 3. Hupomone. The word patience is called hupomone. Endurance. We need endurance in our race upon this earth to finish our course for Jesus. Amen. The second thing about the spider is that the spider is a very quiet, shy creature. When a spider works, they never make any noise. They labor quietly. Nobody sees them doing the marvelous work of creation. They just do their own work, not looking for any compliment or praise from people. We need some spiders in this church that will behave like this. We work for the glory of God, and we do not seek after men's praise. That's the second thing that we can learn from a spider. And the third thing is that the spider, if you look at their legs, they have a sticky substance, sticky pad that can stick to the walls of any building or in a cave and so on. It will stick to it and it won't fall. They have the stickability. And like a Christian, we must have the stickability. We stick to something, we'll do it, and we won't give up. And more precisely about character, it talks about faithfulness. We will be a faithful Christian. We have the stickability, we stick to Jesus to thick and thin. We will not backslide. That's the meaning of that. And fourthly, a spider is a visionary creature. You know, spiders have vision. The spider's main goal in life, within the 1 year lifespan, the goal of life is that I will make a perfect spider web. Whether a crisis will come through the rain or through the wind, or through man's itchy hand, and destroy the spider's web, they continue to pursue the goal until they finish their web, that they build a new perfect web. They have a vision. One day there was a tourist that was visiting a farm. Then he saw this farmer was plowing the land. But the unique thing about this farmer is that as he plowed the land, he plowed such straight fallow in such a large field. And how he was able to do such a straight fallow in the ground? And the farmer simply replied, simple. I just take my aim at the fence post and walk towards it, and therefore I'm able to create a straight fallow in the farmland. That's how you do not turn to the left, nor to the right, you walk straight. In this end time, as John the Baptist preparing this path straight for the coming of Messiah, our path must be straight, must not be diverted. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do not look to man, but look to Jesus. And look straight to him. Every day has a vision in the kingdom of God. Your path upon the earth will never stray, but will always be straight. Never crooked, will always be straight. My question today is, what do you pick as your fence post today? Do you have a fence post as your guiding point of success? Do you have something that will guide you along? What is the kind of vision that you have right now? Do you have a broken vision? A divided vision? A small vision? A circular vision? Or a big vision? What kind of vision do you have? What kind of a firm pose do you have that you will walk straight before the presence of God and you'll finish the course straight perfectly? Do you have a firm pose this morning? Do you have a goal to finish your course well? Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "He that began a good work in me, he shall finish it until the day of his coming." We have to finish our spider web before Jesus Christ comes. The spider web speaks about the calling and the giftings of God that God has given us, and God wants us to use our talent to the maximum capability and finish it. Every new year, we must spin a new, fresh cobweb. Every year, we must finish the work that will begin at the beginning of the year. I urge you, for 1994, spin a fresh new spider web for Jesus. And at the end of 1994, complete that web. And you look back and say, "Ha, I finished a one-year work according to what God has impressed upon my heart." And that's very important. Amen? It's very important. You know, I remember there is a Scandinavian proverb. Scandinavian translation of the Bible of Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. He says this: "Without a progressive vision, the people dwell carelessly." And we're going to sing this song right now. This is my favorite song because it will always stir me towards the high calling of Jesus Christ. "Live your vision high in the way that you never had before. Live your vision higher and you will see the glory of the Lord. Live your vision high in the way that you never had before. Live your vision higher, and you will see the glory of the Lord. For without a progressive vision, you will dwell carelessly. Without a progressive vision, you will dwell carelessly. So live your vision higher, and you will see the glory of the Lord. For without a progressive vision, you will dwell carelessly. Without a progressive vision, you will dwell carelessly. So live your vision higher, and you will see the glory of the Lord." Hallelujah. Spiders have different species, have different size. A small spider create a small cobweb. A big spider will spin a bigger cobweb. It depends on the growth. I'm going to ask you a question. If you have little growth in your life, you are like a little spider, spinning only a small web, only spreading your influence in a small area. But you begin to walk with God, you begin to grow, You begin to enlarge yourself and you behave like a big spider. Have the ability to spin a bigger cobweb. Have a larger sphere of influence. How do spiders spin web? By the grace of God, with a God-given inherent ability. The substance is within them. How you spin the web in your own life? Whatever God has deposited within you, that will be the substance that will spin the web for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Why spider web is important? Not only because they have to rely on the sense of touch, but also because of survival reason. Because the only way that the spider could catch the prey, the only way to secure the food supply, the supply of insects, is to create a spider web where the flying insect flew past it, will stick to the thread of the spider wall and stick there, and then it becomes the food for the spider. What is the diet of a spider? Many things, but among them are flies and mosquitoes. We need spiders in this church to eat up all the flies, the Beelzebub's flies, the unclean spirits that comes to hover over this church. We need a lot of spiders to get rid of this the polluted atmosphere. And spiders also eat mosquitoes. What does mosquitoes represent? Those people that go around and inject poison of gossip, of criticism, spread lies in the church that cause division. Those mosquitoes must be gathered off in the church, and we need a lot of spiders for this task. Will you avail yourself? That there will be greater unity. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30 verse 28, the spider spins his webs in the king's palace. That's a beautiful thing about a spider. You know how they enjoy life? Did I spin the web in a HDB flat? There is good sheltered area. But yet, he spins his web in a king's palace. Wow, all the glory and honor. Amen. If he spins his web vertically on top of the throne of the king, every time the subject bow to the king, the spider says, amen, you may arise. Hallelujah. The spider's right there. Enjoy life. What I speak about, it speaks about this. Always learn to live in the king's palace. Always live in the king's presence. The presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. Learn to walk intimately into the most holy place and dwell there and make your cobweb there. This morning, where is your cobweb found? Is it found in your work alone? In your studies alone? Or your cobweb is built in the presence of God? That you long to dwell in the houses of the Lord forever and ever, like King David in Psalms 23. Where will be your cobwebs when the day of the Lord's visitation? Hallelujah. Now, let's turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. To enlarge the understanding of the essence of the wisdom of a spider. Then the 1 Kings chapter 18. The story of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 42 to verse 45. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself upon the earth, and put his face between his face. That's a posture of intercession. And said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. And he said, go again. And he said, go again, seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain, and Ahab arose and ran to Jezreel. Do you know that the storm's clouds are gathering in this nation? You will witness this in the coming years. black storm clouds will gather in the atmosphere of this nation, figurative speaking, and you will see great judgment and great persecution. But after the storm clouds gather, get ready. The clouds have a great deposit of rain, and it's going to rain. And you will see the greatest revival that Singapore has ever faced since the birth of this nation. Hallelujah, amen. So Elijah told the servant, go again seven times. What a seven times speaks of? It speaks of a perfection, a complete number. And here the Bible also turned with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 24. And verse 16. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again. Hallelujah. A righteous man will fall seven times, but he will rise up again. That is the parable of the wisdom of the spider. Never give up, never quit, never discourage. Amen? Go again. Let me tell you about this story. Paraphrase it according to our local context. This servant, a month ago, another servant is telling you a story. He says, a month ago, when I was in Elijah's conference, a prophetic end time conference, Elijah was speaking and came in on the second day. 450 Baal prophets stood in front of him and began to curse at him. And suddenly on the third day of the prophetic conference, the Spirit of God rise in him and began to curse the prophets. And there was a power explosion. It was a fire encounter of the fourth kind. And Elijah won that day. And I begin to see the power and anointing upon this man. I immediately went to the counter, get a form, and signed my application form to apply to serve under this man's ministry. And praise God, I was approved. Praise God, I'm associated now with the dynamic, anointed ministry of Elijah. That's my name card. Revival Mission. Fire Ministry of Elijah. Hallelujah. Then 1 month later, Elijah called upon me to go with him for a prayer retreat up Mount Carmel. So I went with him. So we're praying and praying and praying. And one day, Elijah touched my back and said, listen here. Go up and look to see and look for a sign and come back and report to me. Go up to the top of the mountain. This man, you know, has a willing heart to serve a great man of God. The power, the might of Elijah. No problem. You know why? Because during that month when he signed the application form, he also took another step. He signed another membership form. And now with praise God, I'm also a member of Pastor Elijah's church. Hallelujah. I'm also now a deacon of his church board. Hallelujah. So this man was an assistant to Pastor Elijah. So Elijah asked him to run up. So he go up the first time. First time, yes sir. He ran enthusiastically, ran all the way up. Ran all the way up. As he was running, he was thinking. He began to remember last month's prophetic seminar. He said, wow, the theme of the lyrics of the song for the prophetic seminar is, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the name of the Lord. There is fire, fire, wonder-working power in the precious name of the Lord. He sang a song as he grew up to the top of the mountain. So he ran all the way up, and then he looked to the north. He looked to the south, the east, and the west. He looked, he gazed, he stared. He opened his eyes, widened the scope of his eyes, and look, there's nothing. He ran all the way down, panting, panting, catching his breath, tapping on Elijah's shoulder. Sorry, let me catch my breath. Sorry to bother your prayer time, but I see nothing, you know. Then Elijah look up. Oh, go again. And he walk out of the place where Elijah was having the spiritual retreat. He walk out of the area. Then ponder over the first incident. I said, maybe it's my eyes that's fooling me. Because I forgot to bring my spectacles. It must be me, my short sightedness. I couldn't see far. I think I will also go to my direct and bring my binoculars so that I can look far. Maybe also, I didn't hear the prophecy accurately. Could it be that my timing wasn't correct? I should have walked instead of run. So this time he walked. Maybe he walked not so good lah. He jogged. So this time he jogged. He jogged all the way out. And this time with the spectacles on, with the binoculars on, to the north, and to the south, and to the east, and to the west, there is no rain cloud, there is no mosquito in the air. I said, oh, let's go back and report. He jog all the way down. Second time, he jog all the way down. He says, prophet of God, I see nothing. And this prophet says, oh, go again. So he walk out of the presence of the prophet. He says, must ask him again. You really want me to go again?
Yes.
This will be the third time, you know, number three.
Yes, go again.
So he went. So this time he went up. He said, if I jog cannot, maybe it's the pace of my movement. I should walk now. So we take a stroll right now. Look at the scenery around.
Wow.
Wonderful sky. Beautiful nature. Wow. Nice mountain breeze. We walk all the way up. And up to the mountain, and look again. In four directions. Four different times. There's nothing. This time it dawned upon him. He said, aha! I thought the first two times it was me. Now I know. You know, it was Elijah's fault. He's wrong. I'm beginning to lose confidence in his ministry. I think he's lost his cutting edge in prophecy. He lost cutting edge. Most Christians miss out on the go again principle. First they blame themselves, then later they blame the pastor, then they blame the church. When prophecy doesn't come to pass, they say it must be the minister's fault. If the prophecy doesn't work out, they say it's the pastor who struck out of his own mind and imagination. So he went back. Say, sorry sir, I went three times and there's nothing, you know. He said, go again. If you go again a fourth time, you know, four, number four, one, two, three, four. Yes, four, go again. Come here, let me tell you something. Do you recall the last month's prophetic conference when I called upon the Lord for fire? Did the fire came down?
Yes.
Trust me.
Okay.
Just trust him, yeah. Maybe it's true, you know. So he went up. Fourth time he went up. When he went up the fourth time, he looked around and still there's nothing. Then out from within him comes up the Singapore slang expression. Alamak! Nothing. Not even locusts. He went down. He went down and report to Pastor Elijah. Says, Pastor Elijah, there's nothing. Go again. Came out of the presence now. No more joy. This time murmuring to himself, swear. I'm fortunate I joined this church. You know, now I become a deacon and I serve him. I was supposed to be a servant. Oh, I will swear. Never mind, I go this time. I went up. Maybe by grace I will see the club. You go up and look again. Nothing, you know. Come back this time. Tell Pastor Elijah. Pastor Elijah, no thing. Go up. Elijah says, go again. This will be the sixth time, yeah? Go again. So this time he came out from the presence of Elijah. This time he's not only murmur, he complained against God. God! You're not fair to me, you're pulling my leg! And you're following me around, telling me left and right, and now I'm on range, check, and I'm exhausted and frustrated. It's you know? You see? Sometimes after you blame yourself, the man of God, the church, finally you blame God. That is a syndrome. Human tendency to do that. To blame God. Walking up this time, he kicked the floor, kicked the rocks, kicked the sand. When it went up, the soul was asleep, when we worn out. And look around, I told you nothing, waste my time. He went down again. So now he's punching. Elijah! Elijah, just quietly and gently, with the fruits of the Spirit, look up, smile,
Go again.
Take care. This time you walk out of the presence of Elijah. He says, this guy right now must be a false prophet. He has backslid from the Lord. He's a false prophet. I'm going up this time. I'm going to gather all the stones. I'm going to stone him. He won't come to plant. I'm going to kill him. He ran up and collect the pebbles, big pebbles, sharp edges, and collect, put his pocket, bring another bag along. Now I'm going to stone him. I'm going to have a stoning ministry this afternoon. He get all the stones up. He goes and look. He was sweating, doubting, confused. Hopelessness was on his countenance. The head was bowed. This time he just looked up. A quick glance. He saw a tiny little cloud at a man's hand. At least it's something like, okay, I got my stones. Then I take it out. Then come back and say, Elijah, I'm very tired. I don't go anymore. Please, I only saw a man's hand, you know, like a cloud in a man's hand. Come on! You better get ready to run down! There's going to be a heavy downfall! Okay, I'm going to bring his umbrella, you know, bring all his jacket as well. Okay, let's rush down. What is the moral behind this story? The wisdom of the spider. Go again. Go again. Go again. When you have a vision from God, you're going to spin your web. Somebody destroy that web making process. Your web will destroy. Don't be discouraged. Go again and build it. Destroyed by the winds of this life. Destroy the web. Do it again. Go again. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Keep on going for Jesus. Never discouraged. Go again. Go again. Like what Elijah told the servant. Go again. And if you will not be discouraged, somewhere along the line you will meet God. And success will crown your efforts. The principle is, go again. Some of you have great vision. And now you say, I'm not like the former times. I don't think I can be like the former times. You drop the vision to build a new cobweb for Jesus. The God is saying, muster all your courage. Go out there and build a fresh cobweb again. Don't care how many times you fail. Failure doesn't determine your destiny. I don't care how many times you fail in business, how many times you fail in your studies, I don't care what you fail, but you will never give up. Learn the wisdom of spider, have endurance in your run, in running this race for Jesus. If you have the endurance, the fighting spirit, fight the good part of faith, I'm telling you, you're going to finish the cobweb for Jesus. You're going to finish the vision and the calling that God has called you to do. You will make it. Learn the wisdom of the spider. In the process of growing up, the key is, there's something about divine delay that you may not understand. Divine delay. It doesn't mean that God is late. You know that God is on time. He knows at the right time to give you what you need. Because while you are growing and in the process of failure and discouragement, God is molding you. He will tell your son, daughter, stop trusting in your own efforts. You can never make it without me. You have to learn to walk by grace. I cause all this failure so that you can turn your face towards me again. That could be what God is speaking to you. Divine delay. Do you remember of another man, Naaman, the Syrian captain? He was told by Elijah to go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times and your skin of leprosy will drop off and you have a baby-like skin. So he came up, still insulted. He went into the river. He says, test the water. Wow, so muddy! My skin is already, corrupted and one bone, I think, greater infection. Never mind. I tell you, all of you, listen very carefully. For all the troops that lie along the shore. If I go and dig in the water and I'm not healed, go and bring the head of Elijah to me. So he ran in, first time. Very insulted. Came out. The troops just stare at him. And I say, he turned his back. I just go the second time. And the third time, it doesn't work. Temper grew worse and worse and worse. Get very angry. I'm counting. 5 times, 6 times. And he keep going to laugh at him. He irritates him even further. He says, get ready. The third time. If it doesn't, straight away go to Elijah's house and bring him his head. And he goes down the 7 times. And when he come up, he was healed. Do you remember the story of John chapter 11 about divine delay? Jesus was told by the news that Lazarus was sick and was dying.
So he dwelt in the place for 2 more days. And finally, when he arrived in Lazarus' house, he was only dead for 4 days.
Divine delay. But God worked out all things for his own glory.
Sometimes you want an answer that it was not given.
It could be divine delay. God could be developing endurance within you. The endurance of a spider. And the wisdom of a spider is never give up. Go again. Go again. Many of you have lost your vision. Many of you don't dare to think big. Many of you don't dare to have a big calling, big vision, because you have failed once and you're discouraged. And you look within yourself and say, I don't have the means. And God's saying, capitalize on the strong point that you have. Develop that particular talent, and that talent will bring you great in the sight of God. Go again. Pick up your tools and begin to build the new cobweb. Go again. Call discouragement to go away from your life. Call fear of failure to go from your life and say, I will go again and I will succeed and I will build a new cobweb for Jesus.